89.3 4CRB.
And a very good morning to you. It's John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group back with you for another program of The Law and You here on 4CRB. As always, it's your opportunity to get free legal advice right here. All you need to do is get on that telephone as soon as you possibly can. Our number is 5520888. That number again, 5520888. Don't forget, if you live south of the Tweed River, put 07 in front of the number. Otherwise, in north of the Tweed River, namely in Tweed Heads and north, you can get straight through on 5520888. So we have callers online. We have emails coming in. It's all happening. As we say, a very good morning to Peter. G'day, Peter. How are you today? Peter, are you there?
Hello, John. How are you?
Yes, I'm well. How are you today?
Yeah, surviving.
Good on you.
John, I've got a question on super.
Sure.
A couple of weeks ago, you were talking about a person with no dependents, that it was important for them to nominate a beneficiary and to make that person the personal legal representative, the beneficiary.
Yep.
The personal legal representative. What I wanted to know is it necessary to name that person as per your will?
No. Well, subject only to checking the terms of your super deed. So have you got a self-managed fund or an industry fund?
It's a retail fund. Yeah.
Okay, so you just need to check with them. But normally what is required under the terms of the deed, and it will often be in the actual nomination form that they will send you. So it will normally say, give certain percentages that you can put in for various people, and it does often say legal personal representative.
Yes.
So the normal terminology used is legal personal representative, but it is very important to follow whatever the actual deed says. So double check with Q Super to make sure what you need to put down, but you certainly don't name the person.
All right, that's what I was concerned about.
Yes.
Okay, John, that's all I needed to know.
Oh, well, that's an easy one to start the program.
Easy one to start for.
Okay then, Peter, thanks very much for your call.
Good.
You're in tune with 4CRB, 5520888 is the number. The Law and You is the program. Your opportunity to get free legal advice from now through to 9.30. That's 10.30, of course, daylight saving time. And we say a very good morning to Bill. G'day, Bill. How are you?
Good morning, John.
How can I help?
I need some advice badly. My son has dug a hole for himself. He's got himself into a bit of trouble with money.
With money?
He's got debt collectors. He's got his own money.
Mm-hmm.
He was renting a house. Found out yesterday that they let him go the other week. Released him from his lease, so he's camping with us with his children.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, he owes a lot of money to the rental, the place where he's rental.
Right.
They're going to take him to court at the end of the month about this money owing.
Right.
This is the rental people.
Mm-hmm.
He tried a couple of weeks ago to get some money out of his super to cover his debts.
Mm-hmm.
But they wouldn't allow him to do it because mm-hmm. he wasn't on the Centrelink dole business.
Right, yes.
He's got a job that if the weather's bad, he gets no pay.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's dug himself, I can't answer for his mistake, but he's dug a big hole here. And he's going to have to appear in court at the end of this month about the rent situation.
Right.
Now, look, I've been helping him out. I've got them all.
You there, Bill?
Yeah. Well,
sorry, yeah, you just dropped out there a moment.
Yeah.
You said, the last I heard was I've been helping him out a bit.
Yeah, and I've got no more funds to help him out.
Right.
Now, how would you go to legal aid? I mean, is there a certain code, a level that only you get free legal aid? My resources are gone. I've been helping.
Yeah. It'll be difficult to get legal aid in relation to the matter you're talking about. Whereabouts on the coast, which suburb is your son living in? You said he's living with you at the moment. Which suburb?
Yeah. Helensvale.
Okay, well, what I would suggest you do go and see the Community Legal Service, which does go to Helensvale. I'm just looking at the moment for the list of places where they go, because it would be a good idea. At the moment, I would assume that your son is not working, because the weather's certainly not conducive to it.
That's right.
Let me see here. They do go to the Narang Neighbourhood Centre on Tuesdays from 8:30 to 4:30. So that would be an appropriate place for him to go to get some assistance. If you just take this number down, I'll give you the number for the Community Legal Service, so you can give them a call and hopefully make a time for your son to go in there. So the number is 5532 9611. Yeah, so he could go to on Tuesdays, amongst many other places. They are at the Narang Neighbourhood Centre. I'm just seeing if there's anything else that would be closer for him. Yes, they're back there on Thursday as well, and they're there from 8:30 to 4:30 in the Narang Neighbourhood Centre. So ring them on that number. And then have your son make a suitable time to go in there and talk to them about what his options might be. It may be that they can point you in the right direction in terms of a legal aid service that will at least provide representation for your son on the return date in relation to the matter, and perhaps be able to give him a bit of advice about what he might do to try and extricate himself from the position he's in. So that'd be my advice, Bill, to do that and see how you go.
Yeah, well, he was filling our papers at the moment to go bankruptcy.
Right, okay. Well, I think before he does that, because that does have implications, I think I would be more inclined to go and see the Community Legal Service. Have a chat to them. It very well may be that they will advise bankruptcy, but as you know, there are implications of going bankrupt, and so if there is a way of avoiding that getting himself out of the situation he's in, there might be better options available.
Yeah. Well, I'm just concerned about this other one that just popped up. I found out yesterday he's been keeping a secret that end of the month he's got to appear in Southport Court.
Hmm. So is that on? That's on the rental, is it? That's about the arrears of rental. Yeah. Well, he's got till the end of the month. So if he goes and gets some advice either today or Thursday, that would certainly give him plenty of time to prepare for the most appropriate course of action to take. It may be that it will that they will advise him that bankruptcy is his best option. But as I say, I think I would explore all avenues before looking at that as a final resort.
Yeah, when we do go bankruptcy, what's there's side effects from that?
Well, it obviously affects your credit rating. You can't borrow any money. You can't have a credit card. It's very difficult to it does affect you in terms of renting property. There's a whole range of things where it does affect you. So that's why it's not a good idea if you can avoid it. And there are alternatives to bankruptcy where you can get out of you can get out of the financial noose legally through other alternatives. That's why I'm suggesting that would be a good idea. All right, then.
Well, thanks, John. I'll pass this on to him and get him to ring the Ring Neighbourhood.
Well, ring the Community Legal Service. The number I gave you is actually in Southport, but they'll be able to give you the regime about him going in there to see them at the Narang office either today or Thursday. And I don't think they take appointments. I think it's a, first in, best dressed type of thing, but if you give them a call, they'd go through all of that with you. All right,
thanks
then.
Thanks very much.
Okay, then. All the very best, Bill. And the time on 4CRB is 14 and a half minutes past 9. That's 14 and a half minutes past 10, of course, south of the border. The program is The Law and You. The telephone number 5520888 on this very wet Tuesday. So if you have a legal question or a query, get on the phone right now. The lines are presently clear, so we'll be able to take your call. In the meantime, an email came in from someone earlier in the week, in fact, yesterday, and basically I'll quickly read this out. It says, my son separated and moved out of the jointly owned home in early August 2018. He is continuing to pay half the mortgage and related charges, as he also has to pay rent and expenses where he lives. He suggested to his partner to rent out the property or sell it. The partner has, however, not given any firm date when she intends to move and does not seem to be in a hurry. Question, how long is he obliged to continue to pay the mortgage and rates, etc.? Well, first of all, from your email, it's not clear whether there are any children or not. But basically, as soon as you separate, you can in fact apply to finalise property matters as between the parties. So you don't have to wait the 12 months. There would be there's probably no legal obligation on him to continue paying the expenses in relation to the property, other than that he's the joint owner. So obviously, if the mortgage payments aren't made, etc., there's going to be implications. So what I would suggest, also that his partner is obviously not going to be any screaming rush to get out if he's paying the rent and if he's paying the mortgage payments as well as the rates and water charges, etc. So I think the first thing would be for him to get some legal advice as soon as he possibly can in relation to the matter. And by way of preliminary advice, he could follow the lines that I've recommended there. So give the community or the community legal service a call on 5532961. Organise a time for him to go in and see them. Or the other alternative to that, of course, is the Citizens Advice Bureau, the Robina Community Legal Centre, which operates from 6:30 to 8:30 on a Thursday evening down at the Robina Community Centre. That one, there's no telephone number to call. You simply roll up and get advice. So depending on where your son is living, I would be either calling the Community Legal Service on 5532961, or if Robina is more convenient, going into the Robina Community Legal Service on Thursday evening. Now, they operate out of the Gold Coast City Council Robina Community Centre. So I hope that's of help to you, and all the very best for that. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
Independent Wealth Management would like to welcome Linda Griffith, a senior financial advisor with a wealth of experience, to the IWM's planning team. IWM is a financial planning firm specialising in self-funded retirees here on the Gold Coast. IWM does not take or receive commissions, inducements or fees from third parties, not owned by a bank or insurance company. Phone 5636 3800. Australian Financial Services Licence 493459. A sponsor.
Need British pounds? American dollars? Rupees for Bali? Mexican pesos? Or Chinese yuan? Crown Currency Exchange guarantees the best exchange rates with zero commission and zero fees. Crown Currency Exchange. Grab your cash, the cheapest way to go. Harbour Town, Australia Fair, Pacific Fair, Surface Paradise, Coolangatta, and now at the Pines, Eleanora. Visit crowncurrency.com.au or call 1300 392 426.
A sponsor.
You're in tune with 4CRB 89.3 FM. The Law and You is the program. The phone number 5520888. And we say a very good morning to Jacqueline. Hi, Jacqueline. How are you today?
Hello, John. Very well, thank you.
How can we help?
I just want to ask you a question about, I'm an EPOA for my brother-in-law.
Yes.
The will has been, his aunt has passed away, and I've put in as an EPOA to work with the executors,
mm-hmm.
and they are looking at giving him $100 a week profit, interest on the whatever he's received, mm-hmm. a third of the estate, which I think is in the $600-700.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I actually, and his son, would like to see them use the money to purchase a unit because he's paying $400 a week rent.
Mm.
And I think it's dead money. And we don't want him to throw it up the wall, as they say.
So what does the will provide in terms of his access to those funds? It sounds to me as if the money has been left in some form of a trust for him.
It has. You're correct.
Right. So is
with
it in
his sister,
a...
who they don't get on at all.
Is it in the form of a testamentary trust?
I haven't got the will yet, but but she understands. The sister said to me, look, that's what Auntie wanted and that's what I'm doing.
Right.
So I've spoken to his son and I said, because what it seems is it's in trust, and it's in trust eventually when he dies. He's 76 now, so he's young. When he dies, it goes to his two children who are lovely.
Yes.
And so I've spoken to the son and I said, look, being as it's in trust for you, ring your auntie and ask her, is it possible that that money could be invested?
Mm.
Now, she wasn't... she didn't say no, which was wonderful.
Mm.
And so I thought I'd ask you, what are our rights?
Right. Well, it will depend on the terms of the trust. So that would be the first thing to look at. And secondly, whether there is a form of statement of testamentary wishes which indicates what the intention. So this is his aunt, is it, who's passed away?
Yes. She brought him up, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a question of what's in the will and also whether there is any statement of testamentary wishes or statutory declaration directing the executors as to what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose the other thing too is you indicated that he's getting a third of the estate and that you think the estate's worth about $600,000, is that right?
Seven even. We haven't sold the shares yet.
All right. Okay. So
there's a lot of shares to be sold.
So it might be $230,000, $235,000 then it's $700,000.
Yeah.
The question is whether you would be able to buy somewhere for him to live for that amount.
Because we're on the Gold Coast and there's units for $190,000.
Right.
In very nearby Illinois shopping centre where he goes.
Okay. Well, look, in those circumstances then, it would certainly be worth a discussion with the executors. If the children are the residuary beneficiaries, then obviously their views should be taken into account as well. So I would think that if the money was invested into a property for him to live in, then obviously that property is presumably going to appreciate in value over the time. The saving in rent for him is going to be more than the income that the funds are going to generate, and unless they were invested, the funds were invested in some capital appreciation asset. If it's simply put in the bank, for example, it's going to depreciate in value. So I think it's worth a discussion with the residuary beneficiaries, his children in the first instance, and then perhaps get them to speak to the executors in relation to the matter and just explain that a property could be purchased either in the name of the trustees or alternatively that he can live in, or alternatively in his name with a first mortgage registered over it for the full value. If it was done in the latter way, he would get access. Presumably, he's never owned a home before.
Yes, he has.
Oh, he has. Okay,
he did own a home.
So he wouldn't be able to get access to the first principal place residence concession on stamp duty.
No,
but nonetheless, if it was purchased in his name, he would still get the concessional 1% stamp duty on the purchase price. And the property on sale would be ultimately on sale would be exempt from capital gains tax. So there's a number of issues to be discussed there, and I think it's worth opening the dialogue with the residuary beneficiaries and the executors just to explain how much more beneficial buying a property would be rather than simply giving him the income off the money, and particularly how the value will be protected for the ultimate beneficiaries, which I'm sure is what the executors are going to be primarily concerned about. All right, then.
Exactly. There's one more question, and that is the trust that's going into his sister's name, she's worried that might affect her pension.
If she's going to be the executor, is she?
Yes.
She's going to be the trustee. Now, yes, if she's the trustee, then it won't affect her pension because unless she's a beneficiary of the trust. So I don't think, but even if she were the trustee and the appointor, given that the trust is for the benefit of the brother, I don't think that would be an issue.
Oh, good. Look, thank you so much, and I really appreciate your program.
No trouble at all. All the very best, Jacqueline. Cheers now. And the time on 4CRB, just coming up to 25 minutes past 9, past 10, south of the border. And we say a very good morning to Rod. G'day, Rod. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, John, and thanks for your program.
No trouble. A pleasure. How can I help?
Look, the death of a beneficiary nominated in a will before that person who has the will, who has made the will, before that person passes on. For example, if I was to nominate 10% to a certain beneficiary, nominating that person, and that beneficiary dies, and that will is not changed, say the other person dies then, what happens? About that 10%.
It's one of those classic answers in law, Rod. It depends. So if the residuary, so if you're leaving a cash bequest, so if you said in your will, I leave $10,000 to my friend Bill Smith, and Bill Smith failed to survive you for 30 days, then that bequest is what we call a deemed, which means that it ceases to have any effect and it doesn't go down to family. On the other hand, if you left 10% of the residue of your estate to a member of your family, so to a child, and that child predeceased you, then even if your will doesn't say, but if that person fails to survive, I leave it to their kids. As long as you've not put in a specific provision which negates the presumption of the bequest going on to the family, it will carry down. Okay, but I think the best way around this, quite frankly, is always that if your intention is that the bequest is meant to be for the family or for the issue of a beneficiary if they fail to survive, is to state that quite clearly in the will so that it says that, I leave $10,000 to my friend Bill Smith, but if Bill Smith fails to survive me, then I leave this to his children or something, something that makes it clear that that happens. But where it's in the residue of the estate and it's to family, to your issue, unless you put in a specific provision saying that issue are not to take, there is a presumption.
Yep. Good.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay, then, Rod, all the very best. Well, the time is just coming up to 27 and a half minutes past 9. That's, of course, 27 and a half minutes past 10, south of the border. Probably about all the time we have for calls today. So thank you to all the people who've called in to make for such an interesting program. Don't forget, of course, there's only 70 days till Christmas, but who's counting? The other thing, too, was you may remember that last week, I think it was Kathy rang in with a query in relation to the seniors card. And the question was the difference between a seniors health card and a seniors card. Now, the seniors card, and in particular the seniors Plus Go card, I think it's called, is a card that's issued by the state government. Certainly in Queensland it is. And that's the card where I think if you're over 65, it will entitle you to concessional travel on the trains and things of that nature. So you must be a permanent resident of Queensland. In relation to age, if you're 65 or older and work less than 35 hours in a week in paid employment, um, and um, uh, and or if you're 60 to 64 working less than 35 hours and you hold a Commonwealth pension concession card, healthcare card, etc., Commonwealth seniors health card, then you're entitled to that, to the seniors, the Queensland card, which is the seniors card plus go, which is not only concessions for certain things but also obviously concessions on travel. So I hope that's of some help in relation to that. Obviously the healthcare card is one that's issued to people on the pension, etc. I hope that helps you out, Kathy, in terms of that. This is John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group. It's been great to be with you this morning. I'll look forward to being back with you again next week for another program of The Law and You. But, of course, until then, it's goodbye and God bless.